It's good to see everybody here. It's good to see some back. We're anticipating a different day than we've had in recent days. The Lord is with us. He is good. It's time for God's people to put on a happy heart, to seek Him with all that they are, and to let the blessing flow. As we prepare to read from the Word of the Lord, I'd like to ask you all to please join me in a word of prayer. Our most gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we come before You on this day, dear Lord. We come before You, just, Lord God, enraptured by Your love. So thankful for Your deliverance through times of trouble. And thankful, Lord God, that You have brought us each here today to hear Your word. Lord God, there is beauty to be found in this day. There is glory to be found in these next few moments. And we pray, Lord God, that prayer that is so needed from each and every one of us, every day of our lives, Lord God, let us see with different eyes. Let us think with a different heart than the one the world has handed to us. Let it be the mind of Christ within us that drives our thoughts. Let it be the mind of Christ within us that drives our heart and our emotions. Let the seat of all of our emotions be Jesus Christ and His love. And Lord God, let this day be beautiful. We pray, Father God, for something wonderful to happen. Let it be just that. We love You, O Lord our God. In Your Son's most precious name we do pray. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, here we are. The Lord has brought us together once again, and I just got to say I'm rejoicing over this great reality that here we are. Brothers and sisters, united in the love of Jesus Christ, ready to search His word, ready to hear from Him. So without any further ado, let's jump into the word of the Lord together. Acts chapter 19, verse 11. God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that handkerchiefs or aprons were even carried from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out. But also some of the Jewish exorcists who went from place to place attempted to name over those who had had the evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches." Seven sons of one Sheva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. Now, let's hold on there for just one moment, and let's come back around. Now, y'all, maybe you got to catch up to where I am. Maybe I got to settle down a little. We'll find out what the truth is in just a moment. But you know what? I went to California Baptist University, and I got my Bachelor of Arts degree there in religious studies. I went on from there to Golden Gate Baptist Theological Seminary, one of six seminaries that our denomination owns, six very well-respected seminaries, conservative in their teaching, and I was thankful I got my MDiv at Golden Gate. And in my time in what we would call higher studies, I run across a lot of different people that have a lot of different interpretations of what the Scripture says, okay? Now, I got to say that although I've already used that word Baptist twice, and maybe some of you already know that you pulled up today, it says Baptist Church, there's a few things that we can associate with the word Baptist. And one that I associate with, or one statement I'm going to say, I am a Baptist. But I need to back that up and say, I am a Christian who worships in a Baptist church. Why do I worship in a Baptist church? And I don't mean to offend any visitor or anybody, so please don't get me wrong when I say this. I like the way the Baptists handle the Word of God. If the Baptists stop handling the Word of God properly, I would stop being a Baptist. I will never stop being a Christian. That's out of my control, by the way. Whom God has received, He does not let go of. The Scripture says that we've been placed into the hand of God and that no one is strong enough to remove us from His hand. So whether I like it or not, I'm a Christian, I'm stuck here, and I'm happy to say so. But now, that being said, I like the way that our denomination handles the Word of God. This is the Word of God without any mixture of error within it. No mistakes, no misinterpretation, that's all on us. But this is His Word. useful for training and equipping all men and women of God for all acts of righteousness, able to pick us up when we're down, able to lift us even higher when we're up, to motivate us, inspire us to go out and do so many awesome things. But in my journeys, there's something that I have found in too many instances when I'm dealing with people that are also worshipers of God and lovers of God, is that when we come to the area of the spiritual realm, many a Christian likes to explain it away, or they like to put all their eggs in that one basket, okay? We, according to the scripture, we are a spiritual people. We are comprised of body, soul, spirit, and mind. We all make one person, one Robert, one Bob, okay? One each of us. But I have this flesh, and this flesh is part of me, but it's also a shell for that which is really me, my mind and my spirit. The scripture says that there's a day coming when all this is going to go away. All that I am is going to change. And then all that I currently am will be glorified. There's going to be changes that happen. The spiritual world doesn't suddenly become born and suddenly enter into existence just because I've gone to meet the Lord. It's here and it's now. There is a God. There is a devil. There are angels. There are evil spirits. And I know that a lot of people that are like on that far side that try to explain it all away, they've come and they've said to me, oh, come on now, Bob. Surely all of those passages in the scripture that talk about people being demon-possessed or talk about demons and this and that, surely they were just misinterpreting illness. They used to just say that people that were cold, that they had an evil spirit. I don't doubt that some of that took place. But I cannot discount the words of Jesus Christ. If I did, it would be to my folly. Okay? Jesus spoke about people being sick. Jesus spoke about people being demon-possessed. Okay? I and you have to wrestle with the Word of God. We've come to one of those points right now where something extremely spiritual has taken place. Something that's not every day. Something that's just not the equivalent of me stubbing my toe on this speaker. Something that's not the equivalent of if I had a good breakfast or if I went to bed having eaten bad pizza and had nightmares all night because of it. Okay? There's something more going on here, and the Bible goes into great detail about it. Now, first of all, as I have tried to make it very clear throughout our journey through the book of Acts, this was what was referred to as an apostolic age. Okay? The apostles, I believe, were gifted with immense power through God to wield the power of God at their pleasure. Okay? Now, a lot of Christians today will often say, well, why can't we still be like that? We're not in the apostolic age anymore. We are in the age of the church, the missionary age, if you will, the age where we have been sent out by faith to go out and win people with the love of Jesus Christ. Do miracles still happen? I absolutely believe it. But if we were to ever see a miracle, the last thing, and if I ever said it, feel free to punch me. If I ever said, look at this miracle I just did. Punch me, shoot me, do something appropriate. I am not a worker of miracles. All miracles belong to God. Anything that happens in your life that you stop for a moment and you go, now wait a minute. Why did this just happen? You give the glory to Him. I don't need the glory. I don't want the glory. If I received it, it would be to my huge detriment. Nor should any other person claim it. It belongs to the Lord God Almighty. The apostolic authority that the apostles had was also gifted to them by God, but he gifted them in a very special way. He gifted them to go out and show the arrival of the church. He gifted them to go out and show that a new covenant has been born, a covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ. And he said, go out in all authority, doing all things so that people will understand, behold, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has arrived. But you and I are here in the new. We live by faith. We do not walk by sight. We know God does great things in our life. I've seen him do great things. I don't hide from that. But now comes a reality. Where are you in your walk with God? Do you worship the Lord God Almighty? Has he changed everything about you? Has he changed the way you think, the way you feel, the way you talk, the way you act? Has he refined your tongue? Has he put more glorious speech inside of your mouth? Has he put more beautiful thoughts inside of your heart? I was just telling in Sunday school, and I'm going to make this a little bit jovial, but y'all got to bear with me. The Lord has changed me dramatically. From who I once was to who I am today. Okay? And be patient. He's still working on me. Amen. Okay? Amen, amen. But now, I got to share with you. Like I said, it's going to be a little bit jovial, but yesterday we had a huge service here. And you know what? We had a problem that all pastors dread. Our toilets were clogged. Now, when I say that, I know, you're like, what seminary did you go to again? What are you going to preach here? I need y'all to understand something. When people start to associate your face with the place, and like, it don't work, they're looking at you like, what's wrong with your place, you know? Like some great spiritual calamity came upon us. And as I was driving here today in the clown car, steering wheel's this big. Lord, I don't know what to expect today. I don't know what's going to happen. I came in this morning, and they were no longer clogged. Now, I don't know if the Lord moved or if the Lord moved in one of you and something fixed. But I got to tell you, I started singing, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene at the top of my voice. Because I was happy. Church gets to continue unfettered by our plumbing today. Amen. Praise God. Now, again, y'all are going to hear something a little funny there. You're going to be like, ho, 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 ho. When you're in charge, let me tell you, there's nothing funny about it. And every little thing that gets out of the way and put in its place so that the word of God can be spoken unfettered is a beautiful thing. Amen. Now, again, for some people, a small thing. For me, it was a major thing. And if it was one of you, God bless you and thank you. But now, we move from our problems. I gotta say, if that was the only problem I faced today, my day would still be going pretty good, amen? Amen? And if that was the only problem all of us faced in this day, we're all doing pretty good. But now, physical problems are physical problems. They're going to come up in this terrestrial world. They're going to be visited upon us. You're going to get up in the middle of the night. You're going to stub your toe on the coffee table. All kinds of things are going to happen that are part of this terrestrial world, and they just are what they are. But then there's going to be those other moments, those moments of divine appointment. When God makes an appointment with you, and they often happen unbeknownst to us. You're just sitting there having your day, and then all of a sudden you're having an appointment with God. The Lord said to Job, Job, I'm going to stand you on your feet, and I'm going to question you like a man, and you're going to answer. And Job was like, okay. That same God, that God of all glory, of all miracles, of all wonders, still makes appointment with men and women today. And he makes them in our good times. He makes them in our bad times. He makes them when we are, my soul, why art thou so downcast within me? And he makes them when we're on top of the mountains. There is no rhyme, reason, or anything that you can determine as to why God has his divine appointment with you, except that he moves in accordance with his own will. And he loves you, and you are in his will. And he's going to have those moments with you. But as I have also tried to illustrate, and as I am not about to run from anything the Bible says, we got an enemy, okay? And like I said, I know that lots of times, lots of us smarter people, we want to explain it away. Jesus didn't explain it away. He gave credit where credit was due. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I'm going to believe what he says without question. And on a good day, I'm going to put it into practice. Okay? Now, in this passage, there's something interesting that happened. Paul was so powerful in his apostolic might that pretty soon people were realizing, but Paul can't be everywhere at all times. And they started bringing handkerchiefs and aprons and laying them on Paul and then taking up that handkerchief, that apron. And they were going out to the sick and putting those handkerchiefs and those napkins on sick people and upon people who were oppressed by evil. And lo and behold, they were healed. The power and presence of God is not limited to any one man, okay? God is everywhere. He is in all things at all times. He is here with us now, amen? Amen? Church family, this is one of those things that too many churches need to wrestle with. You are not a stranger to God, but sometimes you are estranged to the Lord. But not by his desire, by your working. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If there is ever a weak link in our walk with the Lord, let me affirm unto you, it is never the Lord. In contrast to Pastor Bob, the Lord never wakes up and says, I feel a little under the weather today. The Lord never wakes up and says, I stubbed my toe on my heavenly coffee table today. The Lord never has that problem. He is strong, he is mighty, he is beautiful, he is glorious. I and thou are weak. He intercedes in our weakness. There is no defining the power of God. He is beyond description. And when it comes to this great spiritual wrestling match between what we can only call the forces of light and the forces of darkness, from God's perspective, there is no war. He has won. Amen. Satan is a fallen foe. From the very first battle to every battle since, Satan has lost. Through Christ Jesus, the way has been secured that you and I can come unto God through faith, be reunited with him through the spilt blood of Jesus Christ, adopted into God's own family, and never forsaken. He is one. But in this world, while we walk here, we still have our wrestling matches from time to time. And we win those wrestling matches through faith. And as we come to this passage right here, this verses 11 through 14, there's something interesting happen. The name of Paul, the power of Paul, the glory of God that was manifest in the ministry of Paul had become so renowned that people started utilizing the name of Paul in their own ministries, and they had also started claiming the name of Jesus, whom Paul spoke of in their ministries. Evil people, exorcists, wizards, and so forth, all tried to lay claim to the power of God. You might remember one named Simon, tried to buy the power of God. We see now these seven sons of Sheba. They were so proud and so brave, they went out ministering in the name of Jesus that this guy Paul talks about. Now, do y'all see a little problem there? They weren't ministering in the name of their Lord and Savior, whom they personally knew. They were ministering about this guy named Jesus that this other guy named Paul talked about. They were using the name of God, but they did not know God. Christians, if you know Jesus as Lord and personal Savior, God is on your side, and He will never leave you nor forsake you. But the challenge comes with, don't let your walk with God just be this one named Jesus that you know. Jesus Christ wants to be the lover of your soul. He dotes upon you in a way that you could never fathom. He cherishes you. His desire, and as we just spoke about a week ago, His purpose for you and in you is to be in a loving relationship with you. To love you and to be loved by you is the goal for all of humanity. Not to just know that this one named Jesus existed. And as beautiful as it is, not just to be saved from your sins by this one who loves you, but to cherish this God that loves you and to grow in His ways all of your days, to be standing amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene in everything from some great miracle to the unplugging of the toilets. And everything in between, love the Lord your God in the small things and in the big things. Love Him, love Him, love Him. He already loves you. As I already said, we're the weak link. We're the weak link. Fix that situation. If you know God, grow in God. If you know God, love God with all that you are. If you know God, take a hold of Him afresh and anew. And if your soul needs some little bit of revitalization, then pray to the Lord your God for Him to do just that. Surrender yourself to Him and His will. But now, there's the other thing. And I'm going to say this in all love. Don't be this person. Don't be the charlatan. Okay? Don't be the hypocrite that the world likes to point out so readily. Don't be the person that claims a walk with the Lord, but lives as if Christ never lived. Don't walk into church and hold up holy hands. You all know the Ten Commandments. You all know that one of those commandments is not to use the Lord your God's name in vain. Amen? Amen. Now, it's funny, and I'm not going to say this doesn't apply, but for those of us that were children of the 80s, and I don't mean you just made it. I mean like you lived through it. Y'all remember this little syndrome we had called the Valley Girl. Okay? And you know what the Valley Girls were. Lord, forgive me. This is not in vain. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, this. Oh, my God, that. Oh, my God, everything. It was always this, oh, my God, oh, my God. And that's using the Lord's name in vain. That is a definition of vain in a worthless type of connotation. Okay? However, that was born out of the 80s, out of the Hollywood Valley. Right down there around that 90210 area, okay? In Jesus' day, I don't think there were many kid-drawn valley girls or valley girls of Megiddo, okay? I don't think a lot of young ladies in Jesus' day walked around, oh, my God, oh, my God. But in Jesus' day and before, what was probably truly a real definition of using the Lord's name in vain? Like the scripture says, walking into a place of worship, holding up holy hands, Lord, your will be done. Lord, your will be done. Lord, I love you. Lord, you're glorious. Lord, you're beautiful. Lord, you can do anything. And then when service ends, walking out the doors like you never said any of it, like you never meant any of it, like you never intended to mean any of it, and you just went back out living your life the way you please for the next 6 days so that you can come back on the next, which would have been Saturday for them, and get back up there and lift those hands up again. That's truly using the Lord's name in vain. Not believing on Him and what He can do and what He desires to do, and truly not believing to the point of letting it have an effect on your life to bring about His glory and His goodwill for your life. I hate hearing Christians say the word can't or impossible when they come to some mountain-sized sin in their life. Oh my goodness. The scripture actually said if you had faith but the size of a mustard seed, you could move any mountain. Brothers and sisters, believe in your heart that Jesus is real. And as we talk about these charlatans and these, forgive me, I know it's a sensitive word for a lot of people, but these hypocrites, here we come to some of the original hypocrites, these sons of Sceva, who pretended to know the Lord, but they really didn't. And they came in this attitude of like, there's this guy that was named Jesus. And this guy that was, this other guy that is named Paul, he talks a lot about him. And we've come unto you to say this guy named Paul talks about Jesus. And so we're going to say, we're taking authority over you, Satan, spawn of Satan, in the name of this Jesus whom Paul preaches. They're illustrating that they didn't know this one that Paul spoke about. Brothers and sisters, know the Lord your God. Know His Son, Jesus Christ, and let Him inhabit you and make the difference in your life on a day-to-day basis. As the scripture was saying there, I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches, these seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. And here comes, for those of you that didn't read ahead already, and the evil spirit answered and said to them, I recognize Jesus, and I know about Paul, but who are you? Ouch. That must have been this man's flu talking. Because, you know, that's what being oppressed by Satan is really. It's just a cover for an illness. As he spoke to them, and as they claimed the name of a God they did not know, that evil spirit inside of that man turned, and he said, yeah, you've spoken rightly. I know Jesus, and I know Paul, but who are you? And upon that great statement, and the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them and subdued all of them and overpowered them, so they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Well, there's a fine how do you do. I have come in the name of someone I don't know. And they went running out naked and bruised. That doesn't sound like the flu to me. Okay? Doesn't sound like typhoid or anything else. It sounds to me like these men were messing with things that they did not understand. There is more to this world, brothers and sisters, than what you can touch with your hands, smell with your nose, see with your eyes, taste with your mouth. There is more. But the thing that is germane for you and I, the thing that is pertinent for you and me, is this. Something that you don't taste with your mouth, something you don't see with your eyes, or hear with your ears, or smell with your nose, or touch with your hands. The Lord loves you. And it's amazing that when we respond to him in faith, what he can do in our lives, how he can touch us, build us, change us, make us, glorify himself within us, use us for his plan and his purposes, use us to touch others and to share with them the love of Jesus Christ. Use us so that others can come to repentance through faith and salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, there have been times in my life where, like anybody else, I chased my fair share of glory. Earthly glory, worldly glory. And again, nothing in this life could have ever led me to believe that one day I would sing because toilets were unstuck. God is glorious. And he will move in your life. And he will cause you to rejoice in things you never thought possible. Have you suffered pain? God has healing in store for you. Have you been broken? God has mending in store for you. Do you doubt? God has faith to pile upon you in abundance. Have you felt cast down, wounded, neglected? God says, I will mount you up with wings like eagles. We run into our difficulties in this life, and the answer, the one who always makes all things better, the one that makes our trials endurable, the one that makes our base and normal moments glorious, and the one that takes what would have been our otherwise glorious moments and magnifies them to an extent that we could never imagine, the one who actually makes all of life more beautiful and more glorious, his name is Jesus, and he desires a personal relationship with you. Jesus doesn't want to be a stranger on any man's lips or any man's mind. We don't want to be like the sons of Sceva. We don't want to talk about this one that other people know. We want to know Jesus Christ. We want to know his healing and his deliverance and the purpose that he rains down on our life. When we pretend with God, he has a tendency to lay our shame bare before the world. And he totally did that in a very real way with the sons of Sceva. No charlatans. No hypocrites. Love God. What does God want to change in your life? Well, as I already mentioned, we're at a Baptist church, so let me pick on some of the biggies, okay? God wants to free you of your addictions. I tell you, you'll almost never be in a Baptist church where you don't hear somebody talk about don't be drunk, don't do drugs, don't do this, don't do that. And I got to stand up here and share with all of you, it's true, don't. Okay? Don't. But there's so much more than your habits that God wants to deal with. God doesn't just want to dress up the well. He wants to deal with the water in the well. He doesn't want to just give a pretty place that overflows with poison. He wants to make your pretty place that's filled with beauty. He wants you to be a refreshing well that springs up water unto eternal life, that nourishes those around. He wants not just to change your habits. He wants to change who you are. He wants to change your language, your thinking, your entire way of viewing life and living. God wants to do glorious things within you. Now, what you have heard versus whose you are. Don't just know that there is a God. Belong to the Lord. The sons of Sceva had come across a perfect situation that they just thought they could get out there and say a few words and have their moment of earthly glory. You can be in all the best situations, the best ministry settings, and the best everything that you could ever have, but the best situation is worthless if you don't have a purposeful relationship with God. You can't serve God if you don't know God. You can't minister in His strength if He is a stranger to you or if you are estranged from Him. Know the Lord and let Him have an effect on your life. Which one of your pains does God want to work with? All of them. Which one of your weaknesses does God wish to strengthen up? All of them. Don't just give God a situation in your life. Give Him all that you are. Say, Lord, all that I am, all that I think, all that I feel, all that I've experienced, all that I've done, all that's been done to me, all the good, all the bad, all the everything, I lay it down as a sacrifice of praise at your feet. Jesus has asked us to do just that. He said, let me take your yoke that's so heavy. Let me take your burden that weighs so much. And let me put my yoke upon you that's light and easy to bear. In this life without Christ, we carry the burden of all of our shame, all of our sin, all of our guilt, all of our brokenness, all of our embarrassment, all of our hurt, all of our everything. And when we lay that at God's feet, He bestows on us His burden. But His burden wears a name like grace and mercy and love and belonging. The burden He puts upon us is no burden at all. Verses 18 to 20. Excuse me, 17. This became known to all, this incident where these seven sons were beaten and ran out naked. This became known to all, both Jews and Greeks, who lived in Ephesus, and fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was being magnified. Many also of those who had believed kept coming, confessing, and disclosing their practices. And many of those who practiced magic brought their books together and began burning them in the sight of everyone. And they counted up the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord was growing mightily and prevailing. Now, we wouldn't be a good Baptist church if I didn't all of a sudden call for a good old-fashioned book burning, would we? If you got a book that needs to be burned, feel free to do it on your own, okay? Just like with all of your issues, you're in a personal relationship with God. Let Him speak to you. As He speaks, do as He leads. Get rid of it. Throw it away, whatever it is. But I need to tell you something. Don't be tricked by the ways of this world. It's not the book. It's not the practice. It's not the this. It's not the true. I don't like any of those. Problems in the well. Okay. God has a kingdom. And His kingdom is filled with His glory. We have our earthly kingdom. And inside of this little expression of the earthly kingdom that we have, we like to have our own dirty little secrets. We like to store up these things where we think no one else sees them, no one else knows about them. I need to tell you something, though. Your soul is a lot like your computer's history file. Okay? How many of you are okay if someone just walks over and looks up the history on your computer? Don't raise your hand, okay? But seriously, you know? I heard somebody say, if I die today, go home and delete my internet browsing history. Okay? It was said in joke, but I've got a feeling for a lot of people that's the absolute truth. Please don't let anybody see what's on there. God is not a stranger to anything we have ever done. God is not naive to anything we have ever done, said, thought, whatever. God wants to fix the well. God wants to reach right down inside of you and change you from the inside out. If I may, and in what's about to be the conclusion here. You might know that the Lord spoke in a parable. And he said, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Okay. If your tongue causes you to sin, cut it out. He's speaking in a parable. Okay. Well, let's consider this for a moment. Let's say we took that extremely literal. Extremely literal. We would all be stumps of people. Okay? We would. If we were all to adopt that practice today, and we said, if my eye causes me to sin, I'm going to pluck it out. Probably wouldn't take five steps before one of us had to pluck its eye out. And I'll be like, oh, I'm so glad that that's now fixed, and oh, there it is again. Why didn't I look the other way and pluck that one out? And then all of a sudden we find out that our tongue causes us to sin, so we cut it out. And then all of a sudden we find out that even with no eyes and no tongue, we can still hear a lot about sin, and we can partake in it. And we find out that even if we can't see, we can't hear, we can't speak, we still got a couple of hands, and they can work sin. So we get our hands cut off. And then we find out we still got a couple feet and they can carry us to sin. So we get them cut off. And pretty soon there's nothing left except our imagination, which is an expression of our will. And we find out we can still think about sin. So what is the next logical step? Off with their heads. Or, alternatively, there is a Savior who loves you more than you could ever imagine. And He loves you so much that He left His home in glory and He came to this earth, born of a virgin, lived the life, did the ministry, died on the cross, became the last sacrifice on our behalf, and who now stands ready, willing, and able to save anyone who will but believe. That He will receive them unto Himself, cleansing them from the inside out, giving them the strength to overcome all of the temptations of this world, giving them the strength to break the bonds that this world has placed upon them, ushering them into a new life and through a relationship with God the Father, being adopted into God's own family by the Spirit, through which we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy. God wants to clean the well. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the name of Jesus Christ is not just a name that we throw around. The name of Jesus Christ is not something that you should pretend to have a relationship with. But rather, in as much as thou art capable, surrender yourself to the Lordship of Christ. If you have never prayed and asked Jesus Christ into your heart as Lord and Savior, in probably about 60 seconds from now, we're all going to be on our feet singing, and I'm going to be standing right up there in front. And if you need to pray and ask Jesus Christ into your heart for the forgiveness of your sins so that you can enter into a right relationship with the Father, then please step out while we sing. Come, talk to me. I will say that prayer with you, and you shall be saved. Amen. And you shall be forgiven. And you shall be given strength. I'm not making it up. I don't mind putting God on the spot because these are the things He said He would do. And it is my experience. And if you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but you know you've been polluting the well a little bit, you can come too. You can come and you can pray. And although you are still a Christian, in spite of what the things we do and the things we say, God is still willing to touch you and bless you and restore you and bring you back to a right relationship with Him. To begin a relationship, to restore a relationship is what this moment is about. Brothers and sisters, will you join me in prayer? Our most gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, it is with a happy heart that I turn to you in this moment. Lord, you've brought us through an awful lot. And you're going to continue to see us through. And you're going to help us to climb mountains. And you're going to allow us to bask in your glory at the top of each mountain. And then, Lord God, we're going to go back down into the valley. And we're going to speak the good news of your gospel to those around us. So that the next time we hike back up the mountain, they come with us. And Lord God, then we'll send more back down into the valley again. Father God, this is our dream. And we want to see this happen. Lord, if there is someone here today that has never prayed and asked Jesus into their hearts, let them come. If there is someone here today, Lord God, that has prayed, that has asked Jesus into their hearts as Lord and Savior, but they know that they've wandered far, let them come. If there's someone who's just broken and needs prayer, let them come. Whatever the sake, dear Father, if you have touched someone and you've told them to step out, let them come. We love you, O Lord our God, and it's in your Son's most beautiful and most precious name we do pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters.